بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. This is the fifth talk or fifth part concerning the rejectionist Shia. And in this talk, we will begin to focus upon their creeds regarding the sources of Islam. And the first chapter will be their creed regarding the Quran. In this chapter, we will focus upon their saying that the Quran is not a proof except with a qayyim. When a qayyim is present, meaning when an imam of the 12 imams is present. And they're saying that the knowledge of the Quran is with their imams, and no one shares that with them. And also their claim that the saying of the imam particularizes what's general in the Quran and restricts it. Also, in the next chapters, we will focus upon their interpretations of the Quran, and that the Quran has hidden meanings known only to the imams. And also we will focus on their creed concerning the texts of the Quran and do they say that the Quran is incomplete or changed, knowing that the Shia are on the same creed as the Mu'tazilites, that the Quran is created. They followed the Mu'tazila on this creed. And we will focus about this concerning their creed regarding the names and attributes of Allah. Also, we will come to know that the Shia has a claim regarding their books, that their call or claim that their imams received revelations. And this is a matter which few of Ahl Sunnah know of. And also the Shia claim that with their imams are all the books which the prophets received. And we will talk about this matter when we discuss the belief in the books, which is one of the pillars of Iman. Now, the first of these chapters is regarding their creed concerning the Quran. Part A. They're saying that the Quran is not a proof except with a qayyim. A qayyim meaning one of their imams. This is present in many of their references which they consider as reliable, and it is something very, very serious to say that the Quran is not a proof except with an imam. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to those who requested a sign for the truthfulness of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah responded by saying in Surah Al-Ankabut, verse 59, أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِهِمْ أَنَّا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ. It is not sufficient for them that we have sent down to you the book which is recited to them, Al-Quran Al-Azim. There's no doubt that it is the witness and the proof and the evidence. However, the Shaykh of the Shia, whom they call him Fiqhatul Islam, Al-Killini, in his book Usul Al-Kafi, which is considered like Sahih Al-Bukhari to Ahl Sunnah, he said that the Quran is not a proof except with an Imam of the 12, and that Ali was the Qayyim of the Quran, and كانت طاعته مفترضة, and his obedience was obligated, and that he was the hujjah, the proof upon mankind after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is stated by him in his book Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, page 188. This also exists in other of their so-called reliable books, like the book of Ar-Rijal al-Kashi, page 420, وَعِلَلُ الشَّرَائِعِ لِلصَّدُوقِ, page 192, and others. This entails that the textual proof is not evidence unless one goes to the saying of the Imam. And so this would entail that the saying of the Imam is more eloquent than the saying of Ar-Rahman. That is because they see that the hujjah, the proof, is in the saying of the Imam, because he is the one able to, quote, clarify the Quran. And that's why they called the Imam Al-Quran As-Samit, the silent Quran. And also they called the Imam, they labeled the Imam as Al-Quran An-Natiq, the spoken Quran. And they claimed that Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, هذا كتاب الله الصامت وأنا كتاب الله الناطق. This is the book of Allah, the silent one. I am the book of Allah, the spoken one. This is reported in Al-Fusul Al-Muhimma by Al-Hurr Al-Amili, page 235. And they say that Ali is, quote, تفسير كتاب الله. That Ali is the tafsir of the book of Allah, as in Al-Bihar 37, page 209, and At-Tabrasi's Ihtijaj, page 31-33, and others. Not only that, they claim that the Imams are the Quran themselves. That's why we see them interpreting the Quran in such ways that, like for example, وَاتَّبِعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَعَهُ, and follow the light which has been sent with him. They say that the light is Ali and the Imams. So this would indicate that Ali and the Imams were sent from heavens. This is stated in this interpretation, that the Nur refers to Ali and the and the Imams, in Al-Kafi, volume 1, page 194. They also interpret the following saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yunus 10:15, وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ قَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَانَا ائْتِ بِقُرْآنٍ غَيْرِ هَذَا أَوْ بَدِّلْهُ قل ما يكون لي أن أبدله من تلقاء نفسي إن أتبع إلا ما يوحى إلي. And when our clear verses are recited unto them, those who hope not for their meeting with us, say, bring us a Quran other than this or change it. You know what they say here about this verse? Bring us a Quran other than this or change it. They say, this means Amir al-Mu'mineen. This means Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of the believers, meaning Ali. This is in the Tafsir al-Falayashi, Volume 2, page 120, Usul al-Kafi, Volume 1, 419, Tafsir al-Burhan, Volume 2, 180, Tafsir Nur al-Thiqalain, Volume 2, 296, Tafsir al-Qummi, Volume 1, 310, Bihar al-Anwar, Volume 36, page 80. Similarly, their tafsir of Surah At-Tur, verse 33 and 34. Chapter 52, verses 33, 33, 34. قال الله تعالى أم يقولون تقوله بل لا يؤمنون فليأتوا بحديث مثله إن كانوا صادقين. Or do they say he has forged it, meaning this Quran? Nay, they believe not. Let them then produce a recital like unto it if they are truthful. You know what they say about أَمْ يَقُولُونَ تَقَوَّلَهُ. Nay, he forged it, meaning the Quran, they say, meaning this refers to Amir al-Mu'mineen, to Ali. بَلْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. بَلْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Nay, they believe not. That he did not forge, and that he did not say his opinion, meaning Ali. Then they say, فَلْيَأْتُ بِحَدِيثٍ مِثْلِهِ. Then let them produce a recital like unto it. You know what they say here? They say that this means a man like unto him from Allah. A man like unto Ali. And the like of this is replete. And then sometimes they claim that the Quran was not made clear except to a single man, and that is Ali. This is mentioned in Usul al-Kafi, Volume 1, page 250. While the truth is that Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu informed us about the Quran, that it is the book of Allah containing the news of those before you and the news that come after you and the judge between you, and that whoever seeks a guidance in other than the Quran, Allah will lead him astray. And it is the strong rope of Allah, and it is the wise remembrance, and it is as-sirat al-mustaqim. And that whoever judge by it, then he will be just. And that whoever calls to it will be guided to the right path. This is from Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The text from Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the Quran is the Siratullah al-Mustaqim are replete. Now, the Shia in their claim that the proof that the Quran cannot stand as a proof except with the existence of an Imam, and that the Imam is one of the 12 Imams, and that the Quran has been made clear only to one man, and that is Ali, and that the knowledge of the Quran then was carried from Ali to the rest of the 12 Imams until it reached the 12th, the last one, and who is unpresent, the missed, according to the Shia, since more than 11 centuries, and unknown to the rest of the sects, whether from the Shia and others. So this indicates and entails that the Quran cannot stand as a proof, and that it is held from being as such because of the absence of whom? Of the trusted one concerning the Quran, one of their Imams, or the last one. And that no one can therefore return to the Book of Allah, because the Hujjah, the proof, is in the saying of the Imam alone, and he is unpresent, and therefore there is no proof. This is sufficient as misguidance. turning people away from the sirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if this is to assert anything, it asserts that they want the imams to be the reference and to turn people away from the understanding of the Quran, because the understanding of the Quran will be against these deviations and against making the saying of an imam present or unpresent to supersede and to be the reference for guidance, and that the Quran lacks to be, let us to say to the least, lacks to be a proof on its own, unless the imam says something, unless the imam makes clear what he wants to make clear and establish as a proof or not establish as a proof. This in fact nullifies the Quran, nullifies its existence as the guidance to the upright path. So this is concerning the futility of this argument. The second matter of their creed concerning the Quran is that the imams اختصوا بمعرفة القرآن لا يشركهم في أحد, are specialized, special regarding the knowledge of the Quran, and what they know is not shared by anyone else. But what we know is that, and this is from Islam by necessity, that the knowledge of the Quran was never been a secret inherited by a certain clan or a certain lineage, and that this matter was not particular to Ali from the rest of the companions, but rather the Sahaba all were the first to receive the honor of learning the Quran from the messenger to mankind, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, and relating this to the future generations. However, the Shia opposed this fundamental principle and believed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala particularized the knowledge to their imams, the entire knowledge, it was made special to them. And that anyone else, and here's the point, anyone else who sees the knowledge of the Quran from other than the imams will be going astray or will go astray. The roots of this concept goes back to Abdullah bin Saba, who claimed that the Quran is one of nine parts and its knowledge is with Ali, and that in their book Usul al-Kafi it is claimed that the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the Quran or interpreted the Quran to one man, and that this man was Ali bin Abi Talib, as in Usul al-Kafi volume 1 page 25, and as in Wasail al-Shia volume 18 page 131. Not only that, it is claimed that, and they attribute this to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that he had said, inna allaha anzala alayya al-Quran wa huwa alladhi man khalafahu dhal وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي عِلْمَهُ عِنْدَ غَيْرِ عَلِيْهِ هَلَكْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the Quran upon me, and that anyone who opposes the Quran will go astray, and anyone who seeks the knowledge concerning the Quran with other than Ali will be destroyed. This is mentioned in the book Wasail al-Shia, volume 18, page 138, and in Bihar al-Anwar, chapter 7, volume 7, page 312, and volume 19, page 23, and by the Rafidi known as Tabari al-Rafidi, Bishar al-Mustafa, page 16, and Amali al-Saduq, page 40. The narrations concerning this matter are also plenty in the books of the Shia. They even tabulated headings for these matters in their books. Take for example Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, page 192, a title saying that the Imams are the guardians of Allah's command and that they are the stores of his knowledge. And that whoever was described of possessing knowledge in the Quran, then this means the Imams. And that those who are well established in knowledge mentioned in the Quran are the Imams. And that no knowledge is hindered from them, from the knowledge of the heavens and the earth. This is in the book of Al-Bihar, volume 26, page 109. And the same source mentioned that the Imams, nothing is hindered from them. And also in the book Wasail al-Shia by Al-Hur al-Amili, he stated that the impermissibility to deduct the rulings from the apparent Quran, from what's apparent from the Quran, except after seeking their meanings from the words of the Imams. And he stated also, no one knows the tafsir of the Quran except the Imams. In his book Al-Fusul al-Muhimma, page 173. And if we go and into more of their references, we will see more and more of this. What is amazing and also disturbing is that they attributed the knowledge of everything to the Imams, and nothing is hindered from them, from the knowledge of the heavens and the earth. When they claimed that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not explain the Quran except to Ali, however, this is opposed by the saying of Allah the Most High in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 44. قال الله تعالى وأنزلنا إليك الذكر لتبين للناس ما نزل إليهم. وأنزلنا إليك الذكر لتبين للناس ما نزل إليهم. With clear signs and books we sent the messengers, and we have also sent down unto you the reminder and the advice, the Quran, that you may explain clearly to men what is sent down to them, and that they may give thought. So the message had been sent therefore to the Imams through Ali, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam sent down the Quran unto the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that he, or that you may explain clearly to men what is sent down to them, and that they may give thought. So this ayah indicates that the explanation and the admonition and the reminder is for mankind, not to a single person, not to a single household, even if this is the household of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And we came to know early in the class on the explanation of the book of Tawheed that Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu categorically denied and was enraged when it was said to him, did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam give you a special secret or particularized you with something like that? He denounced this categorically, as we learned in the hadith from Sahih Muslim tonight. A Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam addressed the companions and those who after them, and he admonished them to relate his sunnah, and he didn't make it particular to any one of them. The third matter, their claim that no one knows the Quran except their imams. So the Shia claim that no one knows the Quran except the imams, and that they know the entire Quran. This claim requires a dalil, an evidence. This is a claim reputed intellectually and textually. Their claim that the duty of mankind, other than the imams, is just to read the Quran, recite the Quran only. And no one should hold the position of interpreting the Quran. Even the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because to them he came only to make a clear, quote, the matter of this man, meaning Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, end of quote. So therefore, no Sahabis, no one from the Salaf is entitled to relate to us the explanation of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam regarding the verses. So we should return to whom? To those who have the entire knowledge of the Quran, to the Imams. And what we will find in the interpretations of attributed to these Imams, like in the tafsir of Al-Qummi, Al-Ayyashi, Al-Burhan, tafsir Al-Safi, and what's in Al-Kafi, what's in Al-Bihar. Many verses they claim that it refers to their imams. And you will find in these interpretations many esoteric interpretations which have no connection to the textual proofs from the Quran, nor to the context of the verses, nor to their meanings, as we will see some of this during the course of these discussions. So don't forget that. Remember these words. We will come to some of their verses, and you will be amazed to know this kind of interpretations we are talking about, the esoteric ones. And that's how they refer these meanings to the imams. What does this entail? You know what it entails when the people are called to only recite the Quran? This entails that people should not ponder on the meaning of the Quran and understand its meanings. And this is turning people away from the deen. And it's very possible that the motive behind this is the attempt to prevent the public of the Shia, the common ones, from reading the Quran and understanding its meanings, because this will unravel the falsehood of this sect, unravels their misguidance and their esoteric interpretations. So this concept held by them is that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam entrusted Ali with the entire knowledge of the Quran, and Ali denied that. When the early Saba'i sect claimed that what with Ali is different from what with the others have, meaning Ali got a special knowledge, Ali denied this. And he said, and he made an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we don't have except that which is in the Quran, or an understanding which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives regarding it. So what would be the purpose, therefore, of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam making clear to mankind what he received from Allah? Do you think he will make it clear to them only words without meanings? While we know that the companions who recited the Quran, like Uthman and Abdullah bin Mas'ud and others, that whenever they learned from the Prophet ﷺ 10 of the verses of the Quran, they did not go beyond that until they learn what's in them from ilm, from knowledge and action. And they said, فَتَعَلَّمْنَا الْقُرْآنَ وَالْعِلْمَ وَالْعَمَلَ جَمِيعًا. We have learned the Quran and the ilm and the knowledge and the actions all together. This is reported in At-Tabari in his tafsir. And its isnad is sahih. What should we do then with the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Sad 38:29, كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليدبروا آياته. It's a book, this is a book which we have sent down to you, full of blessings, that they may ponder over its verses, and that men of understanding may remember. What shall we do then with the verse in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 82? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. Do they not then consider the Qur'an carefully? What about Surah Yusuf, 12, verse 2? إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Verily we have sent it down as an Arabic Qur'an in order that you may understand. When this is stated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes clear that what is the purpose? The purpose is to understand the meanings, not just the words and only recitation. And hadn't this been impossible, Allah would not have burdened us with something impossible. That's why some of the Shia sect themselves, within their circles, found in this concept which we are talking about, that only the Imams have the entire knowledge of the Quran, they found it problematic. So they formulated another way, and they said, the apparent of the Qur'an is not only particular to the 12 Imams, but others may share in that knowledge. However, the hidden meanings are special for the Imams. So there is still a catch. But we know from the early argument that it is futile. The verse in Surah An-Nahl cited earlier, وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And we have sent down the reminder to you to make it clear to mankind what has been sent down to them, and that is they may ponder on it. So mankind means not Ali alone رضي الله عنه, and the one who says this argument, either he then is saying that the messenger did not relate what has been sent to him, or belies the Quran. And this is something which opposes the intellect and what is known by necessity from Islam. And this also is in opposition of what is clearly known, that many from the companions knew the tafsir of the Quran, like the four guided caliphs and Ibn Mas'ud and Ibn Abbas, Zayd bin Thabit and others. Not only that, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to praise the tafsir of Ibn Abbas. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentioned that, and this is Ibn Abbas, from him related the tafsir with affirmed narrations, and nothing from these narrations mentioned Ali. And Ibn Abbas narrates from more than one from the companions. He narrates from Umar and Abi Huraira and Abdurrahman bin Auf and Zayd بن ثابت وأبي بن كعب وأسامة بن زيد وغير واحد and others from the Muhajirs and the Ansar. However, his narrations from Ali is very few. And the people of Sahih, meaning the people of Hadith of the Sahih, did not relate from his Hadith from Ibn Abbas. However, they related his Hadith from Umar and Abdul Rahman bin Auf and Abi Huraira and others. And there is nothing in the hands of the Muslim known as the Tafsir of Ali. And these are the books of Hadith and Tafsir filled with the narrations from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. And what is from Ali is only few. And what is related from Al-Ja'far al-Sadiq, most of it are lies by the Shia made and attributed it to Al-Ja'far al-Sadiq. Also the generalization that the Imams know the ilm of the Quran entirely, this is excessiveness. Because we know, as Ibn Jarir al-Tabari rahimahullah mentioned, that what Allah revealed from the Quran, part of it is known through the interpretation made and explained by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the explanations of the deen and its commands and its prohibitions, its halal, its haram, its fard. No one of the creation knows of this except through the interpretation or the explanation of the Prophet ﷺ. And him, the Prophet ﷺ, knows only this through the revelation from Allah. And in the Quran there is also that whose meaning is only known to Allah. And that is which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restricted to himself from the timing of the hour, the blowing in the trumpet and so forth. And from it is what is known by everyone who knows the Arabic tongue. See for this Tafsir al-Tabari, volume 1, pages 73 and 74, pages 87 and 88. So this saying is, in fact, if you think about it, it's like a conspiracy. The objective is to turn people away from the Book of Allah and from its contemplations, contemplating it and seeking guidance in it and giving thought and learning from it and its meanings and its objectives. So the Quran, in the concept of the Shia, there is no way to understand its meanings except through the Imams. Others, it's forbidden. You cannot. And this is in sharp contradiction to the verses in the Quran where we are called to ponder, where we are called to take heed, where we are called to stay away from shirk. And what is good for man and what is bad for man. So the person reads the Quran without understanding anything. What about the parables in the Quran for us to learn from? What about the admonitions? And this is an attempt to turn people away from this great knowledge in the Quran related to us from the companions all the way to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all of this has no meaning, no value, because it does not come through the Imams. In fact, some of their contemporaries by the name of Muhammad Rada al-Najafi, in his book Al-Shi'a wal-Raj'a, page 19, stated that all the tafasir that comes from other than Ahlul Bayt, the household of the Prophet, are worthless and unreliable. Where is the worth? Where are the worth ones? Where are the reliable ones? They are with their Imams. But are they really truly there? If you check the reliable tafsirs according to the Shia, that by the Qummi, by Al-Ayashi, by Al-Safi, Al-Burhan, the books of Hadith as Al-Kafi and others, the interpretations attributed to the household shows a great deal of ignorance regarding the Book of Allah and deviation and distortion of the verses, which cannot in any way be attributed to the knowledgeable of Ahlul Bayt. In fact, in some of them there are words which has no meanings, which have no meaning, unrelated to the context. You talk about it, what is this? They say, this is esoteric. This is hidden meaning. Each verse in the Quran has apparent and hidden meaning. The apparent is for the common. The hidden is for Ahlul Bayt, for the Imams. The final matter is that their creed, that the saying of the Imam abrogates the Quran and restricts its and specifies and restricts what the Quran generalizes. Why? Because this is based upon their former argument or their earlier argument, which we mentioned, that the Imam is the reference and trustworthy. Who knows all the Quran, and that the Quran cannot be a proof independent without the Imam, and that he is the spoken Quran. Remember what we said earlier? So this is in harmony, quote unquote, with these false concepts, meaning their belief that the saying of the Imam abrogates the Quran and abrogates and specifies what's general in it. You know what this entails? This entails that after the death of the Messenger ﷺ, the Sharia was not complete. Rather, the rest of the Sharia was entrusted to Ali, and Ali took from it what is relevant to his time, then entrusted what remained to those after him, and so it continued until it remained with their absent Imam. I would repeat that after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, this entails that the Sharia was not complete, that the rest of the Sharia the Prophet ﷺ entrusted it to Ali, and Ali took from it what is needed to his time, and then entrusted what remained to those after him, and so it continued until what? The absent Imam. And so the particularization of the Quran or abrogation did not end with the Prophet ﷺ death, remember. Why? Because the textual prophetic text and tashri'ah continued and did not discontinue with the death of the Prophet, but rather continued with them until the beginning of the 4th century, when their absent Imam, their Imam disappeared, and their connection with the Imam discontinued, and therefore no more reception of revelation from him. And that's why they say that أن حديث كل واحد من الأئمة الطاهرين قول الله عز وجل, that the speech of everyone of the Imams, the pure Imams, is the saying of Allah. ولا اختلاف في أقوالهم, and there is no difference amongst their sayings, in the same way that there is no difference in the words of Allah. This is stated by Al-Mazandarani in his book Sharh Jami' Ali Al-Kafi, chapter 2, verse 272. So they claim the saying of the Imam is like the saying of Allah, and the Imam can particularize what is general in the Quran and can abrogate, and that this knowledge is entrusted from one Imam to another, and that he can change and alter in the same way that fits his time, in accordance to wisdom. He may keep what's general, he may restrict it, he may particularize, and so forth. So the matter of particularization and abrogation is just one of the tasks of the great imams. In fact, they put chapters for this. باب التفويض إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وإلى الأئمة عليه السلام في أمر الدين. Chapter. The designation to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and to the designations to the imams concerning the matters of the deen. See أصول الكافي. Chapter 1 or volume 1, page 265. So the imams had took the assignments concerning the matters of the deen. So they have the right to legislate. And this matter continues from one imam to another. And that the imams are the deposits of knowledge of the angels, the prophets, and the messengers. And that they have the entire books which were sent from, were sent down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we will discuss even further concerning this matter in the next chapters. What about the practical aspect of this creed? Take for example the words concerning kufr and shirk and mushriks that are present in the book of Allah, which is comprehensive concerning everyone who disbelieves in Allah and commits shirk. You know what? These are mentioned in many, many, many reports in their books, that such generalizations concerning kufr, disbelief, refers to the disbelief in Ali, and that the shirk means to take another imam besides Ali. And we will give examples on this in the coming talks, inshallah. So therefore they particularized, you see, because of their right to particularize, their divine right to particularize. They particularized the generality without any delil. They altered the texts to mean that the matter of imamah is far greater than the shirk and disbelief, because they consider the texts, many of the texts in the Quran concerning shirk and kufr, that this means kufr in Ali or taking partners to Ali without any delil, neither intellectually nor textually. And therefore they abandoned the consensus of the Muslims. They even abandoned, ignored even that the lugha, the language, the Arabic language does not permit this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Quran in the plain Arabic tongue. And we will give many examples, inshallah, on this. Refuting this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed the message with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the final message to mankind, that this was the Quran. And with his death, the wahi ceased, the revelation ceased. And these are matters which are known by necessity from the deen. While their claim of the Shia stands to directly oppose this rukun. And in fact, this is in direct opposition to the shahada, to the testimony, أن محمد رسول الله, that the Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. What's the aim behind this? The aim behind attributing this ability to the imams to restrict and to abrogate is to change the Sharia as they see fit. And so the words of Allah are subject to the changes of abrogation by men or particularization of their imams. The danger of such thing comes to be vivid when we know that lying and concealment is a deen for these people, and they fabricate and they alter and they change. And this claim also assumes what? And builds upon what? That the deen of Allah is incomplete, and that it needs the imams to complete it, and that the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger ﷺ was not completed, and the tashri'ah was not completed, that the rest of tashri'ah is left for and stored with the imams, and that the Prophet ﷺ kept things and concealed them only to Ali, and Ali to the other imams. Anyone who holds to such creeds must know that this is kufr, this is disbelief in Allah and His Messenger, and in opposition to the foundations of Islam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Chapter 5, verse 3. This day I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and has chosen for you Islam as your deen. وقال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Imran 3:187, لتبيننه للناس ولا تكتمونه. And remember when Allah took the covenant from those who were given the scripture to make it known and clear to mankind and not to hide it. These are some of their creeds concerning the sources of Islam. And in this chapter we mentioned their claim that the Quran does not stand as an independent proof without an imam. And they claim that the total knowledge of the Quran is restricted to the imams. No one shares that with them. And their claim that the saying of the imam abrogates the Quran and restricts its generality, etc. All of this is refuted by what is known from Islam by necessity and by the clear completion of the deen and by the clear words of Allah that the Prophet ﷺ reminded mankind, not a special person, concerning the knowledge of the deen. And that the Sharia is complete, not left for anyone to abrogate from it, nor to restrict what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has generalized in manners that are concealed and restricted to the Imams of the Shia. And that the danger of these claims, it's evident that it turns the people away from the book of Allah and from the deen and makes another deen, the deen of the imams. And therefore this should awaken amongst the Muslims the need to stay away from these ways which lead the Muslim, or may lead the Muslim, to give lesser attention to the issues of the creed, seeking for unity, quote, end of quote, based upon emotional and or political matters, and for him to safeguard his deen by keeping away from these misleading paths. And that the Muslim should hold firm to the truth reachings that reached us from the way of the companions alayhim ridwanullah, that this deen is perfect and complete, and that our sources of knowledge are the book, the authentic sunnah, in accordance with the understanding of the righteous predecessors. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala bihi nasta'in wa nas'aluhu al-thabata wa-sadad. Wallahu al-muwaffiq walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبع هداهم إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا.